Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. Welcome back, my friends. I am delighted to introduce you to my friend, Alexis Bank. She is the co-founder and CEO of Quick Brain. She is here with us today to share a bit of her experience through this whole business creation process, business growth process, and of course, the inner workings that define all of those stages. Alexis, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's so wonderful to connect with you again. I know it's been forever. So thank you.
I know. We both jumped on the recording before we started the show officially. And we're like, hi, because we haven't seen each other. I don't even know when that was, but it was ages ago. So it has been a minute. And I want to start with this. I would love to hear a little bit about your work. I know a bit about it, but our audience may not. And especially, you just told me that you had transitioned from a co-founder, which is huge in and of itself, to also now CEO of that company. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that work and also that transition?
Yes. So we teach people how to learn faster with greater enjoyment so they can achieve their goals and they can truly transform. And we do that through a lot of accelerated learning methods, memory, speed reading, and other fun stuff, creative thinking, focus. We focus on meta-learning, teaching people how to learn so that they can tackle any subject. And it's really fascinating. So I've been doing this for a long time, I think going on like 16th year or something like that. It's kind of crazy.
That's awesome. And I'm actually in my 16th year also of business. And it's like, what? Like, how has it been 16 years?
Yeah. Like, where did the time go? Right. And yeah, so I started, my business partner, Jim Quick, when we first, met, he was doing a lot of small corporate training. And I was actually one of the, students long time ago.
Is that how you guys met?
Yeah. My friend recommended that I have to do it. He said, so I had kind of like a mentor. And he wasn't like a direct mentor, but he was like a friend mentor who would just give me a lot of business advice. He was venture capitalist in New York, and he knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And he's like, Alexis, if you want to be successful in business, you have to take Jim Quick's course. And it's like, what is that? It's the memory.
So this is great. I did not know this story.
Yeah. So he was doing small training in, for different companies. And I was one of the like 10 or 15 people who took the memory and speed reading. And honestly, I was not expecting anything. And I went in there super tired. I was not in the mood to learn. And what I learned that day blew my mind. And I had this jolt of energy. And I'm like, oh my God, why wasn't I taught this in school? And even to that point, I hated reading books. I had to force myself to read it whenever I had to read it.
This is shocking to me because I know you, like I've known you the last whatever decade or so, totally different person. That's amazing.
I know. It transformed my life. And not only what I learned, because what I learned during that, during those classes, it transformed my life because I started reading books and I started enjoying learning. And I was really like looking for, it was almost like a scavenger hunt. Like, oh my God, like what else can I learn? What else can I do? It transformed me right away, but I did not realize that it would impact my life in many different ways thereafter. So yeah, that's what happened.
Okay. So let's continue that story because you found yourself transformed. You go to this class that you didn't even want to go to. You end up with two like major things. One is a company with this guy, and two is you married him.
Well, that came after, later down the road. But I did run into him again at a couple of different events. And because, I Well, it was my passion. So I was really passionate. I thought, okay, this really has to be everywhere. I was a little bit upset that I didn't get to learn it in school because I felt like it would have helped me tremendously.
Oh gosh, all of us.
If I knew, because yeah. I thought, oh, okay, maybe I'm just not a good reader, or I don't have good memory, or maybe I'm just too distracted, whatever. So I didn't really think of myself as a good learner. I knew I was an okay student, but I didn't see myself as like, oh, okay, I love to learn. And turns out that I really love to learn. That was
as
the
it
main
so
part.
happens.
So I was really passionate about this, and I would go to parties and I would meet up with my friends. I'm like, hey, like, quiz me on like a bunch of different words. So I started to use it as like a party trick and all that fun stuff. And then and when I saw Jim again, because we did run into each other like at one of the events, and then he invited me to like other event that he was going to be at. So we like, you know, started meeting, and I was like, you know, I want to put this out for you. I have no idea. I had no skill of programming or anything, but I was just really, I truly believe that everyone should have access to this information. So even with my very limited basic knowledge of web, this is a long time ago, like 16, almost 17 years ago now. I wanted to just put things together so that we can have membership site before membership site was a thing, before online courses were a thing. So
yeah.
I just went in and put it together. It was like a Frankenstein version of the first version of the course, and that's how we got started. So I launched the online portion of our business. Jim's been doing this a lot longer. We met, and because of that, because of my fascination and passion, it kind of happened to be where it is today.
That is awesome. And also turned into a little bit of a romance. Now, when I met you two, you were together. I mean, yeah. You two, I'm just realizing now how long it's been since we've known each other. Cause I'm like, wait, you two were at my wedding, which was,
yes.
Well, was more than a decade ago. Like that, what? Oh. This is crazy. So that was, yeah, a long time ago, whenever that was. And since then, you are not with him anymore. You've gotten remarried. You've had gorgeous, beautiful children at this point, but you're still partners with Jim. And this is what I want to dig into. Previously on this show, I had Natalie Ledwell, who had a similar situation with her partner, Glenn Ledwell. They were married at one point in time. They divorced and remained partners, and it works so well for them. How is it working for you two?
Well, you know, I think we were both passionate about work. Sometimes romantically, it doesn't always work out, but
totally.
I had tremendous respect for him, and we had a lot of respect for each other. It transformed into different things, but I feel like we're much closer now than ever before. I mean, I feel like I have his back, he has mine, and he's like my best friend. And it definitely, like we always say to each other, even though our relationship has transformed, like we've been so consistent in each other's lives that it's like it doesn't make sense to do this with anyone else. So we're just very integrated, and I love that. And sometimes I think about like, how can we do this when I know it's so difficult for so many people? And I think it's taking the more mature perspective on how relationships are, and still, like, you can still part ways and create new kind of relationship and still honor the time that you share together, that you build together, and not just throwing all away because something happened or something didn't work out, or maybe it was not close to your expectation. Like, it, like, that doesn't mean that everything was not right, right? So I think having that on the same, being on the same page, coming together to acknowledge and figuring out how we can still move forward and how we can still be in each other's lives, I think that definitely helped. So, you know, having that maturity to just have that conversation and being open to it, I think that was the key, really.
I think that is so commendable. And I have so much respect for both of you for doing that. In order, because so many people, I think they get scared. They feel like we have to stay married. We have to do it this way. And it's like, you don't have to do anything, right? Like, let's do the things that are going to feed our souls the most, also feed the business the most. And from what I've gathered, that seems like you two have really figured that out. So I'm like hugely respectful of that. I want to get back to this shift to CEO though. What happened? You said it was about a year ago or so?
A year ago, I officially became a CEO. So I did have my hands in everything from the ground up, whether it's product development, marketing, sales, customer service, everything.
All the things.
And, you know, part of me is thinking, okay, well, I think my team just wanted me to stop, you know, having my hands in everything. So they
messing
just pushed me
them
out to be CEO.
They're like, why don't you go do that other thing?
Yeah.
Leave us alone to do the work.
Yeah. And it was a big learning curve. And I'm still going through a lot of the learning process, that transition, because it is very different from being a co-founder and managing multiple different facets of the business to really focus on growth. Like, okay, what is going to grow the company? What are things that matter? And I'm also learning to the differentiation between the manager and a leader. It's not what you think. And just because you're a good manager doesn't mean that you're a good leader. And I had to make a lot of mistakes and make I was not good. But I think now, finally, after a year, I'm starting to get the hang of it. And now my focus has shifted a lot from a year ago, and also challenging myself, getting myself to do a lot of uncomfortable things. That's really not my forte, but I'm committed to getting better because
that's awesome.
I have a mission. So yeah, it's been a fun journey. It's a big learning curve for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, what you just said is so important. And I want everyone listening to just like really tune in to the fact that like this stuff isn't easy. You know, at certain point, maybe people look at us who've been in business now over a decade and we're like, okay, you know, we have figured out some things, but certainly not all the things. And then especially in your case, and to some extent in my case too, because we had a team when Sean was alive, I was the CEO. And then once he passed, I was like, I just disbanded the whole thing because I'm like, first of all, I don't even know what I'm doing right now in my life. But second of all, I don't need all of this. And now I'm doing the solopreneur thing. So there's so many transitions. None of it's easy. So what are some of the challenges specifically that you have found in that journey and like doing the hard things?
The hardest thing, I think, a lot of times when people hear CEO, they think, oh, you just make decisions. And that's a big part too. But what I learned, especially working with, you know, bigger team now, is that I have to get so good at setting expectation, giving feedback, keeping people accountable.
Yes.
And when you're a manager, you get to direct people a lot. You're like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. You do some of that, but you don't really know. You're not really leading. You're not inspiring. You're not coaching. You're not giving people the proper feedback. And the biggest thing that I learned is that people don't know what's in your head. So you need to get very good at communicating clearly what's expected, what good looks like, what great looks like, and where are they currently sitting in that chart, and helping them, explaining how they can get there, how they can reach good, how they can reach great, and consistently being able to give feedback. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it, but I am aware of it, that I'm making an effort. I'm striving every day. I'm like, okay, this week we're going to focus on this feedback, that feedback. And that was uncomfortable for me because a lot of times you do have to have uncomfortable conversations and you do have to gracefully let people know when they're not good, that it sucks. And sometimes it's okay to say that, but you know, without disrespecting. And also, the way to do that is, instead of just criticizing, you give a very clear solution how they can fix it and what they can do, what steps they can take to make it better. Because then everyone, like, you're just giving them a chance, you're having that honest, open conversation. And really everyone appreciates that so much more, just having that transparency, openness, like, okay, I just need to be able to do this to meet their expectation, because people do, like, most people want to do good work.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's because they don't have that clarity of What do I need to do? And if the leader's not there to be able to give them clear picture of what good looks like, they have no idea. Because I've done this before too. You hire people, I'm like, okay, they have experience in this, like they should be able to know how to do this. And why do I have to
why aren't they doing it?
Yeah, why aren't they doing it? And why do I have to babysit all the time? And then you get frustrated. It turns out that's not a leader. So that's not how you operate anything. So I had to step up, and I had to admit that it was my shortcomings, that the teams weren't performing the way I wanted them to. And I told them too, I apologize. I should have showed up better for you guys. And this is what I'm committed to do. And this is what I would do. And this is what I expect from, everyone. So we can all move in one direction to accomplish the goals that we have, for the company. So,
That's
that was
huge.
Big transition.
I 100% agree. I always said that there were two things that as a leader, we needed to be responsible for. And you talked about one of them, which is giving the person the clarity of what it actually is that you want them to be doing. And are they meeting that or are they not meeting that? The only other thing that I think, as long as the person is willing, able, and if they hate everything and they're not good, okay, that's a different story. But if they are willing and they are able, they either don't have the clarity or they're in the wrong position. And that's also on me as the leader. So it's ultimately all my responsibility to help them achieve and help them get to the goals. And oh, by the way, when they get to their goals, the company gets to all the goals. So that is awesome. Totally appreciate what you're talking about with clarity.
What you just said too, you do have to get good at assessing people's strengths and weaknesses, and not everyone can do the same thing. And, and that's 100%. Why we also released a new brain quiz, because we do believe in, it's not about how smart you are, it's how are you smart. So getting people to understand,
yes,
are they more analytical, are they logical, are they creative, and do you have more people skill, and how to best utilize your strength, and also how to train areas where you may fall a little short, but there are ways to upgrade it, there are ways to train it, and also collaborating with people where you have your weaknesses, and bringing in other people who are stronger in those areas to create a team. And so I think being able to assess that is very important. And sometimes, I know a lot of us are taught you shouldn't judge, but I, as a leader, you're not really judging, but you do have to get a very clear picture of okay, this person is good at this, not so good at this. Maybe this is not the best for a director position, but maybe this person might be better as a manager, or maybe managing one project or two projects, or some people can handle multi different things. I mean, everybody's really different, and you have to get good at who's sitting in the right seats, and you have to give them real clear chances to be able to do the work that they do the way they can do it best, and be able to help them, bring up their skills and everything. And that was a big transition for me too. And I didn't realize that I would love doing it, but now I really love doing that and seeing people growing and doing better, and they feel good about themselves because I was able to really communicate clearly. But but I don't take any credit for all the work that they do. It's all my team. So
that's awesome though. And to that point about not judging, I see it as just a big toolbox filled with different tools. A hammer is great for when you need a hammer, but it's not going to be the same as a saw. And so it's not to say that a saw is bad or a hammer is good, but it's which tool does this job require? And then finding the right person for the right fit in doing that thing, I think that's really the way to go. So here's something else I want to ask you, because for me, one of my kind of, I was going to say struggles, but it's so much bigger than that. My great, great, great challenges in my own business journey, in my own journey of being an entrepreneur, has been this inner mental game, this money mindset thing. And I want to ask you a little bit about your journey of money, wealth, how that has played into that. You guys are clearly hugely successful now, but I know that you grew it from a baby thing into what it is today. Can you talk a little bit about the money aspect in that journey?
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely, I feel like I went through pretty much all the phases because I didn't have a good example.
I mean, I don't know if you can't not. Like, I think you have, most of us at least, have to go through all of them.
Yeah. Money, I definitely did not have a good relationship with money growing up because I never had a good example, you know, come from a very humble background. Like, we didn't have a lot, and it was, you're always seeing your time being traded for money. And that's how I used to think growing up, like everyone else. And then when you want to be an entrepreneur, you realize, oh, my time, it doesn't have to be my time. I can actually do this and get so much more money. But you're still thinking of it in terms of cash, the cash value. And when you do get money, you don't want to spend it. You know, you don't want to spend it as much. You don't want to save it as much as possible. That's also not it. I realized after a while that that's also not good to just have, you know, cash sitting there and not doing anything for you. And then, you know, you start hanging out with other people, you know, who are creating value and assets and everything, and you start to see money. And that's when it really like changes, because you do need an example. And I think that's, you can't learn this just from reading a book. You can only get so much, but you need to see how things look in action and how they view money very differently. So it took me a while, but it took me time from seeing money as like this cash thing to creating value, creating assets. And then I realized, oh my God, you know, wealth is about just utilizing cash and cash value to gather assets and values that other people would pay for, you know? And so you're thinking more in terms of assets. And then after that, cash becomes a tool. It's not the end goal, but it becomes a tool. And then you're like, okay, think of it in value, value, assets, assets. And then there's like, you know, hard asset, like, you know, real estate, land, and, you know, all those other things, and, or companies. And then there's soft asset, which is like your knowledge base, you know, other like skills that you can develop, you know. So I started to see from those things, and then the value for cash, it didn't diminish because it was a great tool to get those things, but the focus changed. And now, now it's like, it, you know, my goal is really even turning our company into a legacy brand. And, you know, I'm thinking more about, okay, how to like, what's the purpose of like, you know, gathering all these things? It's really to, you know, build that legacy and transfer, becoming the seed for the future generations, so that, you know, all the values, the ideas, you know, that can grow into other people's mind, you know. And our goal in the company to Quick Brain, like, now it has become about, you know, we want to create something that will outlive us and we don't have to be here, but that idea will inspire someone else to see a bigger vision than what we were able to see and be able to really, truly take this to the world where people are empowered and they fall in love with their brains and they just, they feel unstoppable. And that's what we want to create. So like all that money change from like, you know, having trading your time for cash all the way to now, it's
so
like, okay,
different.
let's leave the idea behind and let's leave everything behind. Like, we're all creating this just so we can have a, you know, reach that goal of creating legacy and passing down values. And that's what
Alexis, I'm like smiling and laughing over here because earlier, I think before we started the show, you were saying to me, you know, like, oh, I don't usually speak in public and all of this. And I'm like, holy shit, girl, that what you just said was so inspiring. I'm like, that's it right there. That is awesome. And what a beautiful vision that whatever all the rest of us are doing, you know, in our own pursuits, to have that style, that depth of vision. I'm like, yes, yes, let's do it.
So I love it. It took me a long time to get here, but yes, but the thing is, if you don't stop, if you just do the right thing consistently, little by little, you will get there. And I really believe everyone has different vision. We're all here for different things. And I think someone told me recently, you know, whether you believe in God or, you know, spirit, like, that we're all born, like, you know, God whispers different things in our ears so that we all have to talk to each other to understand the full message. And I think everyone has that, like, different message. Yeah. And it really resonated with me that you are here and you have a different message and you need to share with the world so we can all hear it. And I, like, you know, and that really made me want to spread what we're doing even further. And because, you know, people need it. People need to hear
100%, 100%. Yeah. I mean, even what you mentioned earlier about that assessment, how people can understand how they best think and learn. I'm like, holy cow, I can't wait to bring that to all of my clients because they absolutely need that. It's so essential for all of this stuff. So to follow up on that money conversation, I ask this of every single guest on this show, and I'd love to hear your definition, but how do you define wealth?
Well, now I think wealth, I touched a lot on it when we're talking about money, but I think wealth really is creating value, you know, value that, you know, we want to focus, whether that's your relationship. I mean, it doesn't always have to be something global. It can happen in your family. It can happen in your communities. It can happen within yourself, being able, like, being that value focused, something that you can give to yourself and to others. I think that's, you know, the more you have, the wealthier you are. And the idea is to just tackle one at a time, how to gather, you know, those value
that's
in your life
too. Because a lot of us try to do all the things all at the same time, and it may or may not work out so well. So one at a time is really, really good advice. I have a question also that I ask of every guest, and this one is to get a little bit of an inside scoop into how your life actually runs and how it works, how you're able to do all the things that you're doing. It's based on an acronym called ERB. So it's a four-part question. I'll walk you through each aspect. The H stands for habits. What habits do you have?
Oh, okay. I think I accumulated several over the years, but
I'm sure you did.
I'll focus on the ones that made a lot of difference for me recently.
Perfect.
The first one, definitely, it's, you know, it's exercise. And I used to exercise a long time ago, and then, you know, becoming a mom, you know, I took a detour and I kind of forgot about it. And I
kind of forgot about it too sometimes, and I do not have the excuse of becoming a mom.
I mean, we all get caught up with life, and it's really hard when you don't think as, like, an essential thing, you know, part of your, like, it's as essential as brushing your teeth kind of thing, or eating your breakfast. And it took me a long time to rebuild it back up. But what I noticed was my cognitive decline when I wasn't doing it. And there were many things, and I had more brain fog, and I, you would procrastinate more often when you're not doing it. So I had to, like, I slowly build it back up, and it took a long time, but always giving yourself enough time to start small. And then, like, first you start with, like, 15 minutes, you know, it's like nothing. Okay. Then 20 minutes, and you eventually build it, like, rebuild it back up. And now it's become like a second nature that it just has to be there. One of those things. And I see the difference. And even when you're training, I always try to push myself a little bit. And the moments when you want to give up, you're like, no, I'm going to do one more. No, I'm going to do two more. And I think it's not just, yes, it's better for your body and everything. It's for good for your heart, good for your mind. But what it really teaches you is the mindset, is the mentality of wanting to push through the hard period. And, like, no, I am going to do two more, three more. And when you're so close, you feel that you're so close, but you can't stop. And I think that's what's been kind of ingrained in me now through that habit. And it's been really helpful. And I can see how it shows up in work and how I think about things, how I think about life. So I think that's been transformative. And the second thing that I want to share. I heard this from Tony Robbins recently. I was at a mastermind with, like, you know, his top 10 affiliates. And, you know, he's like, if you wake up every morning asking yourself, what do I need to do today? You're asking the wrong question. And that's not how, because, you know, he has like 110 companies now. How do you keep track of everything?
Exactly. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, it's insane. So everyone's like fascinated. Okay, how do you even like manage to do anything? And he's like, I focus on outcomes every day. You're like, what outcomes do I want today? And you just focus on 2 to 3 main outcomes to start. And you're just like outcome driven of having a clear idea in your head, like, okay, this is what I want to see happen. What needs to happen today to get me closer to that outcome? Like, what is that? And instead of looking at things as to-dos and tasks, changing your whole perspective, whether it's your business or your personal life or anything, it's like, what outcome am I trying to get here? Like, what is, and then you get very clear on what to say yes to, what to say no to. So that was a big shift for me too. And yeah, I've been doing it, and I can say that it's been giving me great results. So
nice. That's awesome. It's a great, I mean, and a very simple thing to do. So I love things like that. It's like, just put this into place. So the E in herb stands for environment. How do you set up your personal environment, your personal space, so that you can be as productive and successful as you are?
As you can see,
gorgeous background. For those listening on the podcast, you should check this video out on YouTube because it's beautiful.
I like beauty. I like visual. I'm very visual. So even becoming a CEO, I had to be more analytical, more metric based, everything like that. Transition was hard because I'm a creative. I like to visualize things. I'm a visionary, and I like being in an environment where things inspire me. So I need to feel more feminine energy, because I get to do a lot of work that's a bit more masculine, and there's always a lot of meetings and making decisions, like, yeah. And so I like to set up my environment like very feminine. So I have a lot of flowers, I have paintings with like a mother and child.
Nice.
I like to bring that feminine essence to bring in creativity for me to keep myself grounded, and just trying to keep things as organized as I can, but sometimes it does get crazy. So I'm not going to try to pretend that everything is always
right. I mean, this is real life, right?
Yeah. And I have kids too, but I think for, compared to a lot of households, we do try to keep it kind of tidy and organized, because when things are out of control, it does drive me crazy. So having organization and all of that, it's, important. And I will mention like one more thing for environment, because of, you know, COVID and everyone working from home. Like, I've been guilty of this too, but just getting myself ready in the morning, putting myself together, even if I don't see anyone, I would just do that for me, because it helps me to get in the mindset of, okay, I want to win today, and I want to show up as if I'm going to win. And so I do dress myself, and everyone kind of makes fun of me, like, oh, why are you like so dressed?
You don't
like,
have I'm anything going on, Alexis.
And you're, I'm like, well, I just want to show up, like, dress for success. That's all I think that's important to keep that standard for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to how you feel. And so for anyone listening, if that does help you, and if you feel more empowered when you do that, like, do that, allow yourself to get into that feeling state. So I love that. And also want to like hugely, hugely just say you're a rock star, because so many women who are in leadership positions, they almost feel, because I've heard this from coaching clients, they almost feel like they can't bring that feminine aspect in. And I'm like, okay, well, you're denying like a whole lot of this good stuff then, if you are putting that at bay. And so I just appreciate so much that you make a point to do that very specifically and very deliberately. So that is awesome.
I always believed, you know, when I did hear this when I was growing up, and I go, oh, you know, you can't be smart if you're beautiful, or you can't, like, you know, you can't have both. I was like, why not? Mm. Like, why does it have to be one or the other? Like, why do you have to, I mean, there are ways to do it. So I've always been trying to figure things out, and I kind of make a joke, you know, with people too. I'm like, yeah, I don't look like it, but I'm actually CEO of the company. Because, you know, people don't, when they look at you, they judge you very differently. And and I get that too, but I do believe in the importance of having that feminine, masculine energy be in harmony and being able to do things, because there are a lot of things that feminine energy can bring in with the creativity and with empathy, understanding, and I really feel like, you know, and then flow, and I can communicate with my team with more empathy, but also bringing the masculine to be able to measure, track, and be very concise.
Like, let's get shit done.
Yes. So I try to marry the two and get inspiration from both sides and not eliminate anything, because, you know, like, you have to be one or the other, you know.
It's an old paradigm, and I'm done with it. So anyway, I wanted to acknowledge you on that. Let's move on to the R. So the R in herb stands for resources. And I myself will put in a huge, huge, huge plug for your company, Quick Brain. Like, everybody go check that out. But apart from that, what resources have really impacted you? It might be a book, a course, a program, a coach, whatever. Some things that have really been like the linchpins in helping you up level.
Well, since you already mentioned my company, I am going to say one more thing.
Yeah, please do.
The biggest resource really is your brain.
Yes.
The opposite is the most powerful supercomputer in your head, and you can literally program it to do anything you want. And I think once, if people truly realized what their brains are capable of, they would never say things they didn't want it to be true. And that's how like powerful your mind is. And I really learned that. You feel it. I learned how to train myself to pretty much do anything I want it to do. And
isn't that so fun when you recognize like the power that we have in our own head?
It's incredible. It's really incredible. And anyone can do this, because I was not born with this ability and I had no idea either. So you learn over time and you're like, oh, wait, I just trained myself to be like a healthy, exercising, you know, person. And I'm like, oh, that's what I did. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to train my brain to be the baddest CEO that I can be. And that's what I'm training my brain to be. And it takes time, but you can train your brain. And once you really understand that, I think it's huge, underappreciated resource. We all have it. And we all have the opportunity to really make it amazing. So I want to say that first and foremost.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And outside of that is definitely friends, peers, you know, like yourself, and the greatest, you know, I've been very fortunate to spend a lot of time with some of the amazing minds in the world. And I think having a strong network by creating value that you can offer to other people, I think that's been a huge, you know, jumpstart to a lot of the learning, you know, the learning curve that I had to go through. And the one that made the biggest difference for me recently was having a mentor. So after I became a CEO, I officially got a true mentor, because I've always learned from everyone, but you know, and from books, people, everything. And that's how I built my knowledge base for the past 20 years. And, you know, but having a true mentor who has very specific set of experience that you want to emulate, which was building businesses and companies, and that made a huge difference. And somebody who not only can agree with you, but someone who can push back with grace, call out your BS all the time. I fought with him so many times.
That's great.
It's not always pleasant, because he always, every time I say something that I'm like, okay, I figured this out, I got it. And he's like, oh no, I'm going to push back on you because of this.
Alexis, you sound just like me and my mentor. Same situation. he will tell you I am the most stubborn person, because he's like, if you would just do what I say, you'd have a lot easier journey. And I'm like, but I need to figure it out for myself, apparently, make it harder, whatever. I get it.
Yeah. And someone who can guide you with grace, push back on you, and even if you have steam coming out of your head, like, they don't take it personally. They just let you do your thing and bring you back into your place. That's been really huge. I didn't realize the true value of it until I went through it myself, and it made a huge shift and transformation in my focus, things that my perspective and what I need to do, how I show up for myself, and it really inspired me. I was like, wow, And I told them, we've been working together for a little over a year, and it made the biggest shift in my life in terms of like so many things. And now I feel so, I feel proud of like, what I've gone through, and I feel more confident because of it. And also I'm inspired to be able to be that mentor to somebody else in later years. I want to gather more knowledge, more experience, so later when I'm 60, 70, 80, I can look at somebody like me now and be able to guide them through their journey. And that really inspired me too. So I think having a great mentor, it really makes a huge difference compared to a lot of things.
I absolutely agree. That is awesome. Now, the final part of this four-part question is the B, and the B stands for beliefs. What are some of your beliefs or worldviews or the ways in which you see the world that have really contributed to who you are today?
I was a rebel when I was growing up as a child because I refused to believe the things that we were taught. That I was like, no way, life cannot, like, we are not born so that we can just go to school, learn a few things, get a job, and get married and have kids. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I have it too, but it's like, okay, you work some more and then you retire and then you die. I was like, what?
And that's it.
That sounds so lame. Why am I even here? Like, I don't want to do this. And I, from very early on, I fought with that idea because I refused to believe that life is so limited in those buckets. And it's not about just making some money so you can buy some cars. And I was like, no, that's not interesting. Right. That's not fulfilling at all. And I really feel, my belief is that we are so much more capable and powerful, and the world is more magical than we even realize. I think there's some kind of veil of illusion that's kind of tricking people to think like this is all there is, but it's not. Like, we know that there's so much more. And I think that belief really drove me wanting to discover, not wanting to follow the traditional ordinary path. I hated it. I just resisted all of it. And because I believe that there's more, and the work that we do too, I really believe there's so much more to people. And selfishly, I wanted to live in like this world of like spaceships and everything. I was like, I need people to recognize their power so that they can figure out a bunch of things
You've
that
done
I want
that,
to
though.
See happen.
Like, you have done that.
We're getting started, yes. But
no, your life is such that you have created that exactly. That's so awesome.
I still feel like, okay, we gotta get more people to think that life is limitless and that they can create more things, because I can't do everything by myself. I'm not going to be able to create like spaceport and everything. Like, we need, more people, more of your audience to get into their power. Maybe they can figure out like, the space technology, who knows? But I mean, whatever it is, people have ideas and message that they can contribute. And I really believe if people are more intelligent, smarter, more aware, we would collaborate more. We would be able to have open discussion. And I think that's what the world will look like. So for me, selfishly, yes, I want to live in a smarter world. So I want to do the work that I'm doing so I can inspire people to think more, learn more with greater enjoyment so that they can come into their power.
What a gorgeous vision. I am all for it. And I will say, like, you are living that. So many props to you. Final question. If our audience is like, holy cow, she is amazing, I want to find out more, or I want to learn how to train my brain, all of these things, where would you like to send them?
Can I share a couple of things?
Please. Yes. Yes.
For the brain, if you want to know what type of brain you have, we did create this, quiz called mybrainanimal.com. So it's mybrainanimal.com. We used, we're calling it brain code, and the code CODE stands for each animal. It's cheetah, it's the agile, the doers, and always owl. They're analytical. They love data. They're driven by it. Like, so they need more time to be able to assess what's going on. And we have the dolphins. We have the, those are the creative visionaries. So I'm like a hybrid between the dolphin and owl.
Okay.
So that's why I'm like, I'm a little bit more dolphin and then secondary owl. And we have the E elephants, who are the empaths. Like, they love group setting. They like people. They like working with people. So we have those, like, you know, four animals. It's really fun. Just 4 minutes. People can take the quiz and find out what they are. And we also give a full report,
nice.
How to, you know, utilize your strength and what that means for you and how you would learn if you have like this animal or that animal. And
I think I would
it's
be a
fun.
D and a C, like a dolphin and a cheetah.
Dolphin and cheetah.
I think so. I'll take the test and
yeah.
find out.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
There are, in the, upcoming Limitless Extended book that we're launching in November, we do have the whole quiz, but it's written so you can see the answers and everything, so you can do the quiz. When you take it in a written form, you can actually add up which animal you have the
oh,
most,
so you get like
at the second, yeah,
levels. Got it.
Yeah, different levels.
Cool.
And but with the electronic, you know, we only have the ability to show your top result, but you
that's
know,
the
if
most
you
important
have the
anyway.
book, yeah, the top result. So that's one. And you know, our courses are available on join.quickbrain.com. That's KWIKbrain.com. If anyone's interested, and if they're your audience, I would like to offer like a special discount for them.
Oh, thank you.
For any course of their choice. Just Mindy 15, and then you get 15% off from Recall. We have like a 30-day memory makeover program, 21-day speed reading, double triple reading speed, very fast. And one thing that we do focus on is we're very result driven. So I tell my team too, like, for us, getting customer result is the most important thing. And we do get people to do one small action every day. So 15 minutes, one small thing, and then 14 days, 21 days, 30 days, your life will be transformed.
Amazing and very generous. So I will have links to all of those things. If you're listening and you're like, oh, what is it? Go to lucra.com. You can see it in the show notes, or if you're watching on YouTube, it'll just be down below in the comments, links to everything that Alexis just mentioned. Alexis Bank, you're one of my favorite people. You are amazing and such an inspiration. And I am so, so glad, one, to have caught up again, just our friendship, and two, for your words to my audience today, because as I mentioned many times, like, you had so much great inspiration just to pour out. And I'm super thankful for this time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I adore you and I miss you. And I hope we can see each other, you know, very soon in person.
I hope so too. Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. One, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. Two, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. Three, work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.